Good morning, everyone. Thanks for making it out.
Thank you.
And my name is Aaron Jocelyn from the University of Georgia, and I'm going to talk to you this morning about soil efflux of greenhouse gases from a slash and mulch agroforestry system in eastern Amazonia of Brazil. Research site is located in the state of Pará, a small town of Igarapé-Açu. It's about equidistant from the Amazon River Delta and the Atlantic Ocean, very close to the equator, so very tropical, very moist. This research study has now been going for about 12 years, where the system itself is in the second rotation of a crop fallow system. In 2005, we initiated the site using a mulching tractor. As you can see in the far left corner, it drove over a 7-year-old secondary forest and chewed up the vegetation. At year one, we sampled the manioc growth and trees. At year two, we sampled manioc and tree growth again, and the site was left to secondary succession. Returned in 2011 to sample biomass growth, and again in 2013 to measure the final year of biomass growth, as well as to install the greenhouse gas sampling design. In 2014, at year nine, the mulching tractor drove over the site again and mulched all the vegetation. We replanted seedlings as well as manioc, and then in 2015, we sampled the site again for greenhouse gas flux and year one growth of the second phase of the crop fallow system. This is an image of the tractor driving over the site, mulching the secondary vegetation. It's important to notice the large trees that are left standing. This is an important component of the research design, in which we hope that trees that are left standing on the site will provide a source of income for farmers that might choose to use this system. It's an image of the mulch layer that's left after the tractor drives over the vegetation. It's not this uniform everywhere, but this is a pretty good representation of what the layer looks like. It's really quite thick. Chewed up wood material. There's also the leaf material, of course. So all of the biomass stays on site as compared to a traditional slash and burn system where most of the vegetation is combusted and you lose a lot of the nitrogen, most of the carbon, and other nutrients as well. The other component of this research is the improved fallow, so intentionally planting tree species in the crop field to enhance the biomass production and nutrient cycling. The star of the show is the Inga edulis. It's a nitrogen fixer. It's native to pretty much all of the tropical Americas, from Mexico to Argentina. It is really quite common in shade-grown coffee and cacao systems. We also used Cedrela odorata. It's a relatively slow-growing species. It has a high timber value. Ceiba pentandra is also native throughout most of the Americas, from Mexico to Brazil. It's a medium speed growing tree. It has a high market value, mostly for pulp, but also for timber. Fava, the Parkia multijuga, is a legume, but not a fixer. Its status as a nitrogen fixer was unknown at the beginning of the study. And Parica is a very fast-growing tree, has relatively low timber value. And in our study, we harvested the large Parica at the end of the first rotation. The design of our experiment was a factorial combination and a randomized complete block design. Our main plot was the phosphorus and potassium fertilization. The subplot was the inclusion of Inga edulis in the planting design or without. It's important to note that when I mention fertilization from now on, I'm referring to phosphorus and potassium fertilization. We did not apply mineral nitrogen, which is really quite common in agriculture systems. We included the Inga edulis to substitute for mineral nitrogen fertilizer. There were four blocks, 24 by 24 meters, and trees were planted at roughly 1,200 stems per hectare. In the plots with Inga edulis, they composed about half of the trees that we planted. And in the plots without Inga edulis, we only included the three species, Ceiba, Cedrela, and Schizlobium, because, as I mentioned, we did not know if the Parkia multijuga was a nitrogen fixer or not. We also planted at the same time with the trees, we planted manioc. It's a staple crop in the region, planted traditionally at a 1 by 1 meter spacing for about 10,000 stems per hectare. Some data from the earlier parts or earlier stages of this research project, we found that carbon and nitrogen stocks were increased with phosphorus and potassium fertilization, but also increased by the inclusion of Inga edulis, the nitrogen fixer. So we've enhanced the carbon stock and we've enhanced the nitrogen stock in the system with fertilization and with the inclusion of Inga edulis. So that leads us to ask, will the inclusion of the Inga edulis as a nitrogen fixer enhance nitrous oxide flux in an agroforestry system? The literature is a little ambivalent on this question. Some people say yes, some people say no. As you can see on the slide, the geographic distribution of these studies is really quite broad, from the United Kingdom to Indonesia and to South America. So our hypotheses in this research are that fertilization will enhance soil methane and nitrous oxide flux through the addition of more carbon and nitrogen in the biomass, and also that the inclusion of the nitrogen fixer Inga edulis will enhance the fluxes of those gases as well. Additionally, we hypothesize that soils closer to the nitrogen fixer will generate more flux of methane and nitrous oxide. So our methodology, we collected gas samples on 9 separate dates over 2 years, 1 year of secondary succession, the final year of the first crop fallow rotation, and 5 times during the first year of the second phase of the crop fallow rotation, so pre-mulch and post-mulch. Gas samples were collected from ventilated chambers over the course of 50 minutes from 8 locations per plot. Those 8 locations were arranged in transects ranging up to 2 meters away from 2 separate trees in each plot. In the Inga edulis plots, one of the trees was always the nitrogen fixer Inga edulis, and the other tree was whichever other species. And we also collected volumetric water content and soil and litter layer carbon nitrogen data from each of the separate transect locations as well. Here's an image of our transect design. The tree that those ventilated chambers are leading away from is an Inga edulis. As you can tell, this is the secondary succession phase, so this is the last year of secondary succession. You might be able to tell that it's really quite dark in there. The vegetation did a very good job of growing and providing biomass. So our responses to methane and nitrous oxide, there were no significant differences for methane between phase 1 or phase 2. There were also no differences for the inclusion of Inga edulis or the addition of fertilizer. And the same is true for nitrous oxide efflux, although phase 2 nitrous oxide flux was significantly greater than phase 1. You might notice that the variance for all of these data are really quite large and swamp out all of our statistical differences. But there is quite obviously a biological significance happening, so I'm going to have to do some more statistical analysis, principal components analysis probably, to try to tease out what might be the more important things happening. You'll notice in each situation that the mean flux of the Inga edulis plots is higher than the plots without Inga edulis. As I mentioned, there are no statistical differences, but we suspect that there is a biological difference. There are differences by date as well, as you might suspect. The climate in Igarapé-Açu is a traditional tropical rainforest, does have a strong dry season, so the November fluxes represent the sampling during the dry season. They're really quite low, as you would expect. Important to notice that the July 2014 sampling both represent 1 week after the mulching and then 3 weeks after the mulching, so during the first month After mulching, we sampled twice, and for both methane and nitrous oxide, there was a large pulse at that time, which then recited up to year one. To move from the plot level data to zoom down to the tree level data, it's a bit noisy, but I would like you to notice that Inga, or the capital letter I, represents the Inga edgeless tree itself. The lowercase n represents the non-Inga tree within that Inga plot, and then the capital N represents the both of the trees in the non-Inga plot. With fertilization, both the Inga tree itself and the companion tree in that plot had higher fluxes for both nitrous oxide and methane with fertilization compared to the unfertilized non-Inga treatment, which can consider as the control. So fertilization with Inga caused more flux than the control. The large pulse of mulch layer swamped out any differences during phase, the first year of the phase two or the post-mulch year. The sampling design included that transect, as I mentioned earlier. There were no differences by distance away from trees, either with fertilization or with the inclusion of Inga edgeless. Again, you can see the large increase in phase two. Again, not statistically different, but biologically important. To zoom down even lower, we analyzed the environmental variables through stepwise regression, and there are a few variables that had a significant effect on the flux of gases. In phase one, or during phase one, was the only time when we actually found significant differences. Volumetric water content and the soil carbon to nitrogen ratio was an important predictor of gas flux for methane during phase one. And during phase two, the soil ammonia content was also an important predictor for methane flux. For nitrous oxide, litter carbon concentration was the only significantly predictive variable at the 0.05 level. I included soil carbon because it's kind of right there near significance, so it's an interesting variable, but not statistically different. For phase two, there were no statistically significant predictors, although the litter in layer was interesting, but not significant. So what did we learn? We learned that fertilization did not influence methane or nitrous oxide production. The inclusion of the infixer in the improved fallow design did not influence methane or nitrous oxide production. However, nitrous oxide efflux increased directly after the mulching event, particularly with the inclusion of the infixer. And at the tree and environmental variable level, the fertilized Inga edgeless produced more methane and nitrous oxide than the non-Inga trees prior to mulching only. Distance had no effect on gas flux, and there were some environmental variables such as volumetric water content, and some of the litter nitrogen and carbon data was also important. Muito obrigado. We would like to thank our research partners in Brazil, Embrapa Amazônia Oriental. The project that we used was housed by Projeto Pitamba. Universidade Rural Federal da Amazônia was our research partner that we used their labs and their technicians and everything at the experimental farm. The Cliff Network funded the first round of our gas sampling, and the Tinker Foundation funded some of the travel. Of course, the Warnell School of Forestry at UGA was an important part of my research as well. So thank you very much. Yes.
Looking at nitrogen fertilizer did not increase end-to-world emissions.
Well, we didn't add nitrogen fertilizer. We implanted the nitrogen fixer Inga edgeless. There's a lot of carbon in the system that might influence.
Nitrogen is another limiting factor.
Correct. There's a large response to biomass growth from phosphorus fertilization. Biomass did also respond to the inclusion of Inga edulis, but it takes quite a while for that response to take place. It's not a fast reaction. All right, thank you.